Recorded live in Las Vegas, it's the Spoonful of Sugar podcast with Pharmerica. Here's your host, John O'Connor.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this special live edition of the Spoonful of Sugar podcast, which is brought to you in partnership with Pharmerica. Today, we'll be discussing the future of long-term care, covering policy, staffing, innovation, and the evolving role of pharmacy practice. We're fortunate to have two of the sector's most respected voices joining us. To my immediate left is Cliff Porter, who became the president and CEO of HCA NCAL. Was it earlier this year or late last year?
October 15th, 2025.
So it's been a year.
Yeah.
Although perhaps new to this title, Cliff is a familiar face, previously serving as the association's top lobbyist and a trusted voice in Washington for more than a decade. Also with us this morning is Dr. Scott Greenwell, who is the president of Pharmerica. Scott is a licensed pharmacist and a seasoned healthcare executive with deep expertise in pharmacy's growing role in long-term care. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's jump in. Cliff, now that you've been here in this role for basically a year, what have been your key priorities and how do you see HCA NCAL helping the sector not only respond to ongoing challenges, but also to drive meaningful progress in the years ahead?
Great. Thanks for having me today. Really excited and excited about the energy we have during this convention and particularly in our conference room here today. And it's a great opportunity to see why I'm super excited about the future. You can just sense the energy and obviously the engagement of our members and vendor communities around all that's happening in long-term care. Again, I think one of the big points here as an association is we get to set the direction and set our priorities and more importantly, articulate them to all the folks that are here today. And I think that we're in a position to actually address many of the concerns that we've been struggling with for years. And we're very, very excited about doing that. The first, as always, is to protect Medicaid and to ensure that we have the necessary resources to deliver on our mission to our patients. The second is obviously in the same vein, how do we ensure that we've got the workforce to care for those patients? And then we also have to deal with some of the concerns around Medicare Advantage to ensure that the patients themselves are getting the benefit that they are due and that they've earned. And then lastly, and I think one of the more exciting opportunities is to rationalize our regulatory system in a way that actually improves quality and care for the residents that we serve. So everything's about the patient. The reality is, how do we get there? And I'm excited about this conference and hopefully articulating that message to the thousands of folks that are here.
Great. Now, the first half of 2025 saw some real notable wins, improved SNF pay raises, the 10-year staffing mandate delay, provider taxes, basically avoiding what could have been a catastrophe in OBBA. So what's the next target for the sector as you look ahead?
Yeah, well, we definitely believe in celebrating at AHCA NCAL as well, because it's important for us to celebrate the wins that we've had. And these have been, frankly, existential threats. And we don't get those often, but I'm super excited about the outcome on all of those fronts. Obviously, we call it OB3. The OBBA is just such a mouthful. But as it relates to OB3, we clearly are excited about that opportunity. For the first time, we were able to get the Congress to actually recognize that long-term care is different and that the needs of patients, particularly Medicaid patients in the long-term care sector, has to be protected. So we were able to come out of that, ensuring that there was protection for that particular cohort of folks. And then obviously the lawsuit victory, I can't take any credit. I really take little credit for all of it. We've got a great team and a great board and a great leadership that really come up with great strategy. But the Texas lawsuit obviously was a very, very important highlight in 2025 as well. And we got legislation passed. We got the rule reversed by the administration. So a lot of wins this year. So I'm trying not to get overly giddish about it, but I'm excited about it. And I think, again, the whole goal is to get folks back focused on collaboration, common sense, and just being persistent and getting the work done. You know, we're going to be focused, again, on the key issues going forward: workforce, Medicare Advantage, rationalizing the regulatory environment. We've got a incredibly aging population that's going to need service. And we've got to make sure that we have people here to care for them. And we think even on our other priorities, we have a real good shot at making significant progress in the next couple of years.
It's been,
I've got to ask though, Cliff, with that kind of string of wins this year, like, what, we're in Vegas, like, where are you putting your odds on next? Because that's impressive.
I forget the artist, but I like the song. All we do is win, 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 no yeah. matter what, that's what we try to do. And I think, you know, we have to focus on winning. And again, more importantly, we're right, you know, and it's not just about, you know, the issue. I mean, we're right about the issues. And when you're right about the issues and you got good policy and good people and an engaged membership, I am confident you can get anything done. So I'm excited about the next few years, and I'm excited about the opportunities that lie ahead.
Terrific. And Scott, we didn't forget about you. Medication management remains central to quality care, but it's also a major source of risk and cost. From your perspective, what are the biggest challenges providers face today in ensuring medication safety, compliance, and effective administration?
Yeah, thanks for the question, John. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give all my pharmacy professionals a shout out, because it's technically Pharmacy Week that we're celebrating across the country. So a huge shout out for all of our pharmacy professionals and the work they do every single day to deliver on the patient care that we're responsible for. You highlighted, you know, quite a few issues. You know, there's a lot of, whether it be quality measures, STARS measures, Medicaid measures that specifically are targeted around pharmacy. You know, those are not necessarily new. I think, you know, in terms of how we approach those is really critical. And the approach that PharMerica specifically is trying to drive is, you know, focus on the comprehensive medication reviews. We know medication reconciliation post-discharge is a huge opportunity for pharmacy to help deliver back and help, you know, drive better health outcomes for our patients, preventing those readmissions back into the hospital and managing through those transitions of care. You know, for us, it's around technology. Cliff's opening remarks yesterday hit it spot on. We have a national healthcare shortage that's, you know, a wave that's coming at us. We're already, you know, starting it now. And it's how do we leverage technology to help our clinicians practice better care, you know, reach the top of their license and hopefully get away, you know, some of the bureaucracy that our clinicians have to face every single day, get that out of the way. And pharmacy plays a significant role in helping deliver those capabilities to all of our customers. So that's really where we're focused at and excited about the future and what's to come.
Great. Well, when you look at the demographics and the economics of what's going on, the demographics are great from the standpoint of there's a lot more older people that are going to need care soon, but there are also a lot of senior caregiving staff that are going to be retiring soon. There's going to be, frankly, a bigger challenge, I think, going forward. How do you both see, from your perspective, how you can help alleviate or improve that situation?
Cliff, I'll jump on this one first, if you don't mind. For me, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with our customers of late, and my goal is to get us out of the way of caring for the patient. And how can we return time back to our clinicians and our nurses so they can spend more time taking care of their patients? You know, my father passed away in 2020 of frontal temporal dementia, which is part of my why and why I'm here. I saw what that was like for, you know, those critical, you know, caregivers taking care of my dad. And unfortunately, they have to deal with a whole lot of bureaucracy, paper pushing, being the historians of patients and everything that they've had to do in the past. So we're trying to push to try to figure out how do we give the right information at the right time to those clinicians when it's actionable for them to do something with it, and give that time back to the nurses and other, you know, support staff so they can spend more time taking care of the clinicians. That's where we're focused.
Yeah, well, Scott, you nailed it. We do have in common a family member. My mother suffered and has passed on from the same diagnosis. So dealing with creating efficiencies for workers is incredibly important. I know I needed help. I did the best I could. And ultimately, I think that's the same thing for our staff. They're doing the best that they can. I think that ultimately, it's a marriage of a couple of things. First, we do have to leverage technology and our vendor partners to help us free time. That's the best way to say it. How do we create efficiencies that free the limited time and resources our caregivers have to actually be with the patient? That is, to me, one of the most critical things and the biggest differentiators as it relates to improving quality of care and long-term care specifically. And then the second is we just got to get, innovative in different markets for sure, but we also have to just completely rethink healthcare workforce in America. We have an existential challenge in front of us that is sociological and is deep and is beyond just us. And we're going to have to come up with real innovative solutions, and we're going to have to eliminate some barriers that traditionally have been in place as it relates to generating more nurses, educating nurses. How do we get them to market faster? How do we give them greater and increased capabilities on the floor to be able to do more things than just strictly what their license is making them do? All of these things are just super important if we're going to meet these challenges. And at the end of the day, we're just simply not going to have enough people. So we got to have other approaches to hopefully create more efficiency and ultimately improve care.
If I could follow up on that, Cliff, beyond lobbying lawmakers, which I think is in your wheelhouse, obviously, at both the state and federal level, how is HCA NCAL working to improve public perception and support for long-term care providers beyond the folks in this room?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a great question, and obviously it's a lot of work. And changing public perception is a moment-by-moment, I call it discharge-by-discharge endeavor. As always, and I still believe this fundamentally, that word of mouth is the key. And we've got to continue to deliver on our mission in every community with every patient every day. And the more and more folks that I'm convinced that come into our system and exit and have a positive experience, the sheer volume of those patients are ultimately going to help us change public perception. We talk about this influx and explosion of senior population. Obviously, more and more of those folks are going to come to us and ultimately get back home. And that's exciting. And one of the things we're doing with our progress parade is an example. It's just one way to communicate and articulate that reality. People come to long-term care not to die, not just to convalesce, but the majority of the patients that enter our doors actually do return home to a productive life. That's the story that has to be told. That's the story that we all need to take a responsibility of telling. And most importantly, I think that the thing that will ultimately change public perception is the patient themselves being proof in the pudding that long-term care works.
Very good. And Scott, how involved is the pharmacy sector in the broader healthcare policy discussion? And also, how can providers better amplify the role of pharmacy in shaping the future care models?
Sure. Great question. I would say right now, it's really where I'm spending the vast majority of my time. And we had this little thing called the Inflationary Reduction Act, or the IRA, which, you know, unfortunately is an unintended consequence, impacts our world in a unique position, just given the nature of our business and the impact. So right now, spending a ton of time focused on those impacts of the IRA, making sure that understands that, you know, while someone of our size and scale in the industry, you know, we're built to withstand this, and you know, we're not concerned about that. But the rest of, you know, the pharmacy providers in the long-term care space are going to be materially challenged in how they navigate IRA and its impact. So that is number one priority for us. Cliff and the rest of the team, as well as the rest of the long-term care industry, has been hyper supportive of a bill that's been introduced. A huge shout out to Congressman Van Dyne out of Texas, who's, you know, leading the, you know, sponsorship of that bill. So right now we just got to get across the finish line so we reduce the impacts to the entire long-term care pharmacy industry. In terms of how we, you know, set ourselves up and, you know, gain additional partnerships with our provider groups, it really, it's around, you know, pharmacists in our, you know, in pharmacy are the medication experts, and making sure that we have those right partnerships in place to help them navigate, you know, the investment, I'll call, in pharmacy. You know, people often, you know, call it a cost of pharmacy. For us, it's an investment, right? And that investment, it is delaying potential poor health outcomes through those pharmaceutical investments and making sure that our customers and partners are making the best appropriate investments in that care and making sure that we're seeing it pull through, whether it be adherence strategies, you know, reducing psychotropics, reducing, you know, high-risk medications that can, you know, contribute to a fall. All of those things are kind of the blocking tackling work that we do. And now it's around some of these new therapies coming to market and how do we help, you know, our customers manage those investments that they're making in their populations.
Very good. I feel like we could talk about this for a few hours, but sure. Unfortunately, we're running out of runway here. So before we close, Cliff, I'd like to do a quick lightning round. If you could deliver one key message to each of the following constituencies, what would it be? First, what would your message be to CMS?
Change. Adapt.
And what would your message be to Congress?
Think.
Okay. What would your message be to the HCA NCAL members?
Belief.
And finally, to professionals who are in the early stages of their careers.
Lean in.
I was going to say it's worth it. As a healthcare professional, it's worth it. Lead it.
Is worth it.
I think it's fair to say you've mastered economy of words. Well, Cliff and Scott, thank you both for engaging in this insightful conversation. This field is really fortunate to have strong voices like yours leading the way. Before we go, please thank you to both Cliff and Scott for the conversation this morning. We would also like to thank PharMerica for their continued support. To learn more about their pharmacy services and clinical support, please visit them at pharmerica.com. I'm John O'Connor with McKnight's, and on behalf of our guests, we want to wish you a great experience here and also a great tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Thanks,
Cliff. Thank you all. Thank you both.